Jesus' triumphal entry. So hear now the words from Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage of Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing, untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, it was already late. He went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Out of the mouths of babes, right? Wow, what a powerful message they gave us this morning. We are continuing now in our Lenten series about genuine hope. And we're coming to the end of that series now, and as we prepare for Easter. And we are now entering into what we call Holy Week. And so this morning, we talk about the story that shapes us. Imagine that it's Friday evening and you are stuck in bumper-to-bumper traffic. Yeah, I know, that's pretty easy to imagine around here. And you're in the right-hand lane on the freeway and all the cars have just come to a stop. Does that sound like 285? Yeah. And you look into your rearview mirror and you notice that a long way back, a car has gotten out of line and is traveling in the emergency lane, in the shoulder, to get around everybody. Do you know what that feels like? And I won't tell you what Scott says about that when he's driving. But anyway, then much to your amazement, that car stops right in front of you. And the driver puts his left turn signal on, motioning to you to let him cut in front of you. Now, apparently, he was growing up with parents who taught him that he was special. And he still believes that, right? So how do you react? Do you ignore him? Do you make sure that you're so close to the car in front of you that there's no way he can sneak in? Do you make a nasty gesture at him and go on? Do you roll down the window and give him a piece of your mind? Or do you give him the benefit of the doubt and you quietly let him get over in front of you? How you react to that situation may have a lot to do with a story that you carry inside of you. It's a story that tells you how life works in your world, how you understand life to be. It's called your master story. Do you know what your master story is? Your master story determines how you see the world and what meaning you attach to your life. It talks about your values. It particularly guides you in your moral decisions. It's good to be aware of what your master story is. But the thing is, most people don't really know what their master story is. Now, master stories come from our culture, and they're often passed from parents to children. You don't even realize that that's happened. Master stories come from our culture, the world in which we live. And people may not even be aware that they're living into the culture of today, but they are. These stories shape who we are in life. And they become so much a part of who we are that we don't even realize that they're there, that they're operating on that. So let me give you a couple of examples of master stories that come from the American culture. One very common master story in our culture is the rags to riches story. We hear it all the time. If we work real hard, if we can achieve everything that we, then we will achieve all the great things that come in life. And in this story, poverty is a temporary state, and there's always the hope that things are going to get better for those who deserve it. Each person is given the same opportunity to succeed based on his or her merits. The measurement of this success is what? Financial, most of the time in our culture. And it has no limits. And in this story, if more is better, then even more is even better. The story of rags to riches. We hear it on TV. We see it in the movies. Have you grown up with that rags to riches kind of story in your life? As Americans, most of us have been influenced by that story. And it tends to be the people that we admire most tend to be the ones who have lived and continue to live out this particular story. It's part of our television. I mean, think about American Idol, right? It's a variation on the rags to riches story. Another common master story for Americans in our culture today is the story of the lone self-reliant hero, classically expressed by the American cowboy. Or, in today's culture, we see it in the superhero movies that are played over and over and over. I mean, how many times can we have a Spider-Man movie, okay? They've done it so many times. There are guys in white hats. There are guys in black hats. There is good. There is evil. And evil is perceived as an external force. And the villain is beyond redemption. And because of this, the hero has to act decisively through violent means to get rid of that evil. And we see this master story played out all over the place. Think about James Bond. And some of those kinds of stories. Now, these aren't the only master stories that we find in our culture. There are probably many others. You could probably tell me lots more of them. But in our generation, there are also a lot of people. There are people who live with these kinds of master stories, but there are also a lot of people who live without a master story. They're just kind of moving around without a direction. They don't really know where they're going or what they're doing. They're disillusioned. Life has no meaning. Having no story may be the scariest story of all. Without a master story to guide us, we have no moral compass. Maybe that's where some of the violence that has happened in our schools and in our homes and in our communities comes from. People who don't have a story. And they need one badly. Faith groups have master stories that they share with others in their community. And there seems to be a master story for Muslims that is about a faithful prophet who followed God's will completely and was justly rewarded for that faithfulness. And that's what it means to be a Muslim. For Jews, there is the story of the redemption of God's people. It's the story of the Exodus from Egypt, right? It's the story of the promised land. And Jews have internalized that story so that it clearly shapes who they are and how they live. And we as Christians, we have a master story too. It's the story of the cross. And at its most basic level, the church is a community formed around this master story, right? Our master story makes a difference in the way we live our lives as a community and as individuals within our communities. It's hard to live with multiple master stories too, by the way. There can only be one master story for us. And although we may have been raised with a certain story, and then we get into our older lives and we are raised with a cultural story, and then we come to the church, we are choosing the master story and letting go of the other as we move through our life. For many of us, this happens as we realize that there are other stories. Because maybe the cultural story that we've been living didn't work. Maybe you worked really, really, really hard and you didn't get ahead. Maybe evil was not something that was an external force, but an internal force. And so as these come down, those walls come down, we find other stories to live. But when we accept the cross as our master story, it shatters and gets rid of all the other master stories that we've had. And that's what really Paul says in his scripture from Philippians 2. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ. Let this be the story that shapes who you are. And it's here on the screen. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave and being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That is our master story as Christians this day. And it does change the way we live our lives. From the most ethical decisions that we have to make along the way, right down to the way we drive in heavy traffic. Although I must admit, I get very impatient sometimes. When the cross becomes our master story, we can no longer use and abuse other people to achieve our goals. When the cross becomes our master story, the philosophy that says the person with the most stuff wins breaks down. When the cross becomes our master story, we can't label everyone who is different than us as our enemy. And when the cross becomes our master story, power is never about bullying and threats and exerting physical strength. As a part of the church's Christ Church every year, we gather especially during this Holy Week, to hear this story told once again. It's a story that we're going to be reading this week all over the world, in churches everywhere. And during this week, that story will unfold for us again. And so I hope this morning that you hear that story. Not just an interesting account of how a man's life ended, but that it is a real story to you. I hope you hear it not just as one of many little stories that informs your life. I hope you hear it as the story, the master story, the one that shapes your life as a community and the one that shapes your life as a person. As we go through this Holy Week, remember the words of Paul from Philippians 2, in a way that your life can be changed and transformed through the power of Jesus Christ and what He did on our behalf. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, we are indeed so thankful for Your Son, Jesus Christ, and for all that He teaches us in life. And we pray, O God, that You will help us to make Jesus' story our story as we make decisions, as we move forward in life. Lord, help us know that we are saved and that we can live life abundantly. In the name of Christ, amen. Our closing hymn this morning is hymn number 140, Great is Thy Faithfulness, one of my great favorite hymns. The